Un broke out in Europe in 1914, while Harry was on tour in America. For a long time, the United States stayed out of the war. Harry canceled his shows in Germany. He also started telling reporters stories that made him sound more American. That was because of all the anti-German feeling in the country. Harry did not want to be associated with the enemy. Harry kept touring and performing as usual, but it was a sad time, personally, for Harry. On July 17th, 1913, he suffered a shock from which I do not think recovery is possible. His mother, Cecilia Weiss, died. All his life, Harry had kept his promise to his father. He always sent money home to his mother and took care of her. She lived with Harry and Bess in New York City till her dying day. Often, Harry had brought Cecilia along to Europe to see him perform. He always said that his mother and Bess were his two sweethearts. Just as Harry had always feared, Cecilia died while he was away in Europe. As soon as he heard the news, he canceled the rest of the tour, including a performance for the King of Sweden, and rushed home for the funeral. For the rest of his life, he continued to mourn her death. Some people he met said it was all he could talk about. For the next few years, he was sad and unfocused, even though he kept on performing. Luckily for Harry, Bess was always at his side. She supported Harry through everything. Even when he was perfecting his most dangerous stunts, she never doubted that he would come back to her safe and sound. Sometimes he worried more than she did. Once, right before a bridge jump, he handed a friend a piece of paper that just said, "I leave everything to Bess." He wanted to make sure she would be provided for if something should happen to him. In April 1917, the United States decided to join the war in Europe. Harry signed up for military service that same month. He was determined to help, however he could. Unfortunately, Harry, now 43, was too old to join the army, even though he was in better shape than many younger men. So Harry found other ways to help. Millions of people were willing to pay money to see Harry perform. So why not give some of that money to the war effort? Harry did shows all across the United States to raise money for American troops. Not only that, he also performed for thousands of soldiers. He did shows for the wounded in army camps. He even taught classes for soldiers before they went off to war, showing them how to escape from German handcuffs and locks. Harry had always guarded his secrets carefully. Now he revealed some of them. It was worth it if he could help America win. "It is not a question of will we win or will we lose," he wrote. "We must win, and that is all there is to it." The Hippodrome benefit alone, where he introduced the Vanishing Elephant, raised nearly $10,000 for families of American soldiers. All his life, Houdini devoted time to what he called good works. These included donating money to hospitals and orphanages, where he also performed for free. Children adored him, and he especially loved doing his show for them. It always made Harry sad that he and Bess never had children. It was the one thing missing from their marriage. He was jealous of his brother Theo, who had sons. But Bess and Harry were happy together anyway. For them, pets became like children. Their dog, Charlie, traveled with them for 8 years. Harry and Bess also had many friends, although he was too busy to have much of a social life. He loved meeting other famous people, especially ones who knew who he was. On one boat trip between Europe and America, he astonished former President Teddy Roosevelt with some of his tricks. For the rest of his life, Harry treasured the photograph he had of the two of them together. There are also photographs of Houdini with Charlie Chaplin and Buster Keaton, two of the greatest comic stars of the silent screen. And Houdini became good friends with Jack London, author of The Call of the Wild and White Fang. He also met Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, the man who created Sherlock Holmes. But this friendship ended less happily for Harry Houdini. Chapter 10. So You Want to Be a Detective. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle was an English writer, famous for his best-selling mysteries about the great detective Sherlock Holmes. Holmes was brilliant and observant. He could tell 100 things about a man just by looking at and listening to him. Sherlock Holmes used logic to solve mysteries, like putting together the pieces of a complicated puzzle. Nobody could fool him. But his creator, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, was not much like his famous sharp-eyed, suspicious hero. When Houdini and Conan Doyle met, Sir Arthur had recently become interested in a new movement called Spiritualism. Spiritualism was very popular after World War I in the 1920s. Spiritualists claimed to communicate with ghosts and spirits of the dead. After the war, many people wanted to believe, needed to believe, they could contact their lost loved ones. At a séance, people calling themselves mediums would gather a group around a table and try to communicate with the dead. Mediums used a lot of mysterious phenomena to show that ghosts were really present. Floating objects, strange knocks on the table, instruments that played themselves. According to Sir Arthur, spiritualism was absolutely the most important development in the whole history of the human race. Harry didn't believe a word of it. He knew how talking to the dead worked. It had been a part of his own show when he was very young. But he stopped doing it because it was wrong to trick people. He was convinced that all these new mediums were fakes too. Sir Arthur's belief in spiritualism appalled Harry. How could such a smart man, with such a respect for logic, be deceived by parlor tricks?